What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
And we started the show talking a little bit about the Yankees and just baseball overall, how we need to not really overreact to prolonged bad stretches with the way that baseball is. But then the news broke, BT, of the Yankees and Aaron Boone telling Talking Yanks podcast that Jazz Chisholm was going to finally be moved back to second base. So that kind of took over where Jazz goes back to second. Peraza going to start at third tonight. Yanks, we know, have a little bit of an issue with the pitching right now. Heel will be working his way back, starting rehab on Sunday. But actually, the Yankees making the decision finally, however they got there, whoever made the decision to put Jazz back at second base.
Well, it's step one. It's step one of hopefully getting this right. And if they don't do step two, three, and four, which we've already identified and will continue to get back into, then step one won't be as impactful as I hope that it eventually is down the road. I mean, the Yankees take the field tonight, and, you know, obviously Volpe's swimming both with his mitt and at the plate. But I certainly trust his defense to get stabilized here, and we'll see about the hitting. But at least tonight, like, they're rolling out a top-notch defense. Like, Goldschmidt can pick it. Jazz is great at second. Obviously, Peraza is if he wasn't a good fielder, he wouldn't be a professional baseball player because he sure as heck can't hit. And obviously, if Volpe gets his act together, I mean, he's usually a vacuum over there at shortstop with pretty good range. Then you get to the outfield, and most of them can get it. Most of them have good arms. I like Wells behind the plate. Rice is a different story. So there's the semblance of the, I would say, the construction, but really the reconstruction, because you're just putting Jazz where he should have been always, of a team that, you know, with some other moves, has a chance to be a lot more interesting than they were, I think, at many points last year. Certainly as they were, you know, during this massive funk that makes them look terrible. But I also still want to get rid of some players. I just do. I really believe that you can do both here. You can acquire and you can get rid of the right players, and you can almost reset midseason, and you could tweak it to the point where you can remain a power.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that bad for the Yankees, even during this bad stretch. I think they have fundamental flaws. I think that they, as an organization, don't acknowledge things that I would to make a ball club better, more balanced, well-rounded. But the pieces are still there. And, you know, you look at Peraza tonight. Okay, he's not going to be their third baseman. They're going to get a third baseman. Now, will he be adequate defensively? Will he be great offensively? Who knows? But they're going to get a big league third baseman. And all of a sudden, their lineup, depending on how they utilize the guys that they have, if it were me, I would go Bellinger in left, Grisham in center, Judge in right, go defense there, and then have Dominguez DH, Stanton DH from the right side. So you want to flip that. If you want to go lefty-righty platoon with Rice and Goldschmidt at first, you could do that. I think that they have a nice, tidy, assuming you get a third baseman, nice, tidy team right there. Mm-hmm. Then you have to worry about the bullpen, which might be the biggest issue. Yanks had the lead over the Mets, late in innings, Luke Weaver on the mound, giving up a bomb to Jeff McNeil, and he's been getting hit hard, got hit hard in Toronto as well. So, you know, that could change. One win can change the feeling with the ball club, but I don't think it's as bad as it seems. Toronto just doesn't lose right now. They will cool off. I still think the Yanks will prevail, and they're going to be aggressive, needing a bullpen arm. And obviously adding a third baseman, I don't know about the rotation. That's the one thing that would give me a little reservation about how far the Yankees can go, because they're just taking on so much water there. Losing Clark Schmidt is a rough blow. On top of no Gerrit Cole, You know, Clark Schmidt now, Heald's been out. You're going to get Heald back eventually. I don't know if I would go out there and get an arm. I'd rather use my resources in the bullpen and third base. But I don't think it's as bad as it seems for this rough stretch with the Yankees.
Well, the other thing, too, you got to factor in. I mean, he got lit up against the Mets, and that's Rodon. Like, what Rodon do we see in the second half here? I still think that he'll probably do what he usually does, which is pitch very well against, you know, slightly above average to bad teams and then step on the rubber against a really good team or a good team and not deliver enough for the to justify the contract here. But like, and I'm not even predicting this. I'm just kind of talking out loud because I don't know that I agree that I'm so quick to ignore the starting market. Like, I like Will Warren. I remember talking up Will Warren to you a while ago, and I'm like, yeah, I know the ERA is a little hard, but a little high, but he had a game or two that really jacked that up. And you look at the strikeouts per innings, like he's got really good stuff. He leads rookies in strikeouts, but he's a kid, man. He's a kid.
Yeah.
He's a kid a lot of experience.
But again, like you mentioned before, and I think it was the perfect word, the experimental phase. And you can experiment with Will Warren as a fifth starter, but now when you get pushed up to a third starter, now you have some problems. Same thing, like you could experiment with Dominguez in left or Ben Rice at catcher. Now, all of a sudden, the Blue Jays aren't losing, and you're 3.5 games back in the division, and we're approaching the trade deadline. I think experimental phase is now over, which is why you probably see Jazz back to second base, and you're seeing the Yankees tighten things up a little bit and say, okay, here's what we got to do. So that experimental phase is over, which could get them in trouble with the pitching staff because they just don't have any arms to the point where Schlittler gets called up to start tomorrow, making his debut.
Well, that's one of the things that me and Sal talked about earlier here. If you guys missed it, Free Odyssey app, it was pretty interesting where, you know, as much coming from us, it's pretty funny here because, you know, we let loser go nuts as much as anybody after a long losing streak or a wretched loss for any of the teams that we cover and care about. But there's got to be, to an extent, we'll let you figure that out on your own, but a bit of a check or a recalibration of processing losses in baseball because it's such a long season. And while I stand by what I said yesterday about selling certain components of this team, I said laboratory and experimental phase, those are two words and phrases that I used here. It's like, we've got to understand it's a long season, which everybody does, but you know, the window where teams are figuring out who they are, that's generally the first 2 months of the season, and then the next 2 months are spent getting and determining what you need to get and getting it, and then the final 2 months of the season are now kind of hitting the reset button again with the additions and reinforcements that you deem necessary to make a run for October. So while we might be going nuts and you guys might be yelling and, you know, getting into fights with Volpe's dad in the stands and cursing and tweeting away and doing whatever you're doing, the Yankees and the Mets, and I think the other good baseball teams, they understand that it's you get weeks, at least, if not 2 months, to figure out what the hell's what.
Because of the landscape of the sport. That's the caveat here. We got so used to reacting on a daily basis, and okay, but you don't go as nuts in April as you do in May or June. But, you know, by the end of May, Memorial Day, it used to be, hey, you know, pick it up here. Look at where the Mets were a year ago. There's no way that based on the entirety of my life watching baseball that I ever thought the Mets would be a good team last year after watching them from April through May. It wasn't until June where they took off, and even then it's like, yeah, how good are they? They barely made the postseason, but ended up in the NLCS. That shows you alone. Last year was a prime example of how you can't react the way that we used to or judge teams as a whole the way that we used to based on, forget about a few weeks, even a bad couple of months. So while the Mets were taking on water and the panic flags were getting raised and all that stuff, you have to remain calm. Hey, they're still a good ball club. They'll figure it out here. They have some time. Same thing with the Yankees. Hey, it's a rough stretch. It's ugly. But ultimately, I still think they're going to win the division and be better than Toronto. That doesn't mean you can't pick out flaws that you think are issues or can't get mad about certain guys or certain performances or certain things that happen. But big picture, even a 3 week or a full month losing stretch does not mean that it's a bad team and that the season is over.
Do you like this new baseball better? I kind of like the urgency. Yeah, I'm with you.
I miss, because we talked about it before, the expanded postseason, you have that extra cushion and all teams are feeling the same way. And even to a point where we mentioned it, that you can't even identify, like you said, okay, the experimental phase, and then you identify what you need and you go get it. Well, even the identifying what you need, yes, that you could do, but what's available is not the same way that it used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be much more clear what was available. Now it's not because more teams are in it. So it's not a bad thing. I personally liked it better the other way, where if a team played poorly in April and May, you knew they were left for dead. I guess you could make an argument for this being better because you have more teams in it. Even the teams that struggle for 2 months could go out there.
But we don't care about those teams. Like that's too different.
Well, I mean, imagine one of them a year ago.
Well, that's true. I'm talking about, like, but at locals, like, there's the baseball the broad snapshot, and then there's our teams. And yeah. When I say our teams, I factor in the new Mets with Cohen and the spending, not the older Mets.
Oh, well, let me pose it this way. You say, do I like it this way? With the way that it is set up now, it would be a catastrophe. Forget about this year. I'm talking about any year.
Yep.
If the Mets and Yankees don't make the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so then now we're in a spot, and it's a good thing, I think, to have those expectations. Yankees have had that forever. The Mets are finally entering the conversation now, but it's not just because of Steve Cohen. It's also because of the expanded postseason. With the amount of resources the Mets, even the Wilpon Mets used to have, it should be inexcusable to miss the postseason when you now expand it even further. But doesn't that then take away from the enjoyment of the regular season or the challenge of getting to the postseason? Like, even the Yankees or Mets at their worst this year, none of us really said they were going to miss the playoffs. At least I don't remember saying that.
We were both on board. I'm less committed to divisional supremacy, right, certainly with the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees or Mets either. I don't think either team wins the division. But I do think the Mets find a way to get to the playoffs, and I think the Yankees
but
do.
But having that cushion to me makes it almost less fun to me.
Less fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it takes away the urgency. I mean, you know, imagine if there was no wild card and the Yankees just lost four games up in Toronto. Imagine that.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with that.
That would be justified to say, hey, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
You guys better get it together, otherwise you need to tell, whatever it may be. But in today's landscape, it's like, big deal. You played badly for a month. You played poor baseball for a month. You'll be fine. They'll figure it out.
And there's good components and bad. But I got to wonder, like, are we kind of misremembering or favorably positioning things to fit, even if we're not doing it intentionally, which I don't think we are, that the game has changed so much? Because I'm looking at it, I just want to punch this up, and I'm looking at this like, all right, so we always talk about, like, the Cardinals, obviously, Wainwright, Beltran.
Yeah.
06, they win 83 games, they win the World Series, right? That's fairly recent. And the Giants in 2014, and the Braves back in 2021, and the Rangers in 2023. But there's a lot of teams, like the 1987 Minnesota Twins won 85 games, won the championship.
Well, the 69 Mets.
Mets, the A's, when they won, went back to back to back. Remember, they beat the Mets in 73. Yeah. Then they won it again in 74, not against the Mets. They won 90 games in the regular season. Then you go back to the 1990 Reds. I believe that was the team that swept the Oakland A's. They won only 91 games. The 1980 Phillies with Tug McGraw.
Yeah, but that's what it took.
They
to win
won 91 games. The Dodgers in 59 won 88 games.
They didn't back into the postseason. They won their division. So however many wins it took, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you get...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Five teams in front of you, you back into the wild card spot, and you could go do damage in the playoffs, where back then it was two teams that win the division.
Yeah, that's a little different. A little different.
BT and Sal on the Fan. The other thing we discussed was the Mets and the idea that they're going to be aggressive now. I was talking to Andy Martino about this yesterday on Baseball Night in New York, and he's getting the sense that the Mets are going to be aggressors here. He also mentioned that they could get a bullpen arm sooner than later. Like at any moment here, maybe the Mets could go reinforce their bullpen, whereas the starter market may take some time to develop here. But anything's going to be possible, whether it be center fielder, whether it be third base, whether it be starter or reliever. The Mets are going to be aggressive, and I think that's the right move for them. This is a window. They know it. We have to see David Stearns do it and who they're going to acquire, who they're going to give up. But this is an all-in season for the New York Mets.
It has to be. It absolutely has to be based on Pete's status contractually, Lindor's age. You know, you only get this, you know, these three or four guys playing together, certainly atop the order, for a couple of more years before it's a very different cast here. Nimmo is not a kid. We understand that. Not that Marte is, you know, night to night amazing, and he's hurt right now again. But he's obvious, his contract's up. So it's going to be a very different team, very different profile, which I think will mean different good things for the Mets, because I do think you'll get more athletic dynamics, position players. You'll get more flamethrowers coming up as they draft and develop their own guys. But the bottom line is, while I'm with you, you got to take a swing here. You know, the Beatty's, the Acuna's, the Mauricio's, the Vientos's, lesser extent, the Alvarez, who's actually doing pretty well. I did check this morning, ironically.
Yeah, he was performing well.
Home runs.
Last
I checked
week
on
when
that.
You were out the last couple of days, I saw, yeah.
I wanted to get that wrong coming back, you know, so I made sure I took care of that today because Hoffman was going to call me out. But whether it's Alvarez, like, they're going to have some tough decisions, but I can promise you, well, I shouldn't say promise, I can almost guarantee you that the five or six names that I just mentioned are not playing together in 2 or 3 years, either because one or two not nearly as good as we thought, or one or two are traded. You got to go for it if you're the Mets.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. I remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steve is calling from Dix Hills. What's up, Steve?
Mets aggressive at the trade line. I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time we picked up an impactful batter pitcher at the deadline was 10 years ago with Cespedes, and I don't get why we're more aggressive.
And what happened when you got him? You got yourself to the World Series, right?
I agree, and that, you know what? We need to see that aggressiveness.
You're going
to
see it.
And in terms of trade options, you know, I'm not really sure about Luis Roberts. I wouldn't mind Severino, but I'd love Buxton, and I'd love Lugo back.
Those are the two names that I'm hearing a lot of Met fans say. I'm with you. Good call. Thanks for it, buddy. Buxton is a no-brain layup.
Well, he's the best center fielder by far that's going to be on the market, right?
No question.
So go get him. I'd rather that than the third base. Like, I know the Mets could use a third baseman, and Suarez keeps coming up. Maybe that's the option. Maybe not. But I'd rather, you know, let's say they go get Suarez and then get Cedric Mullins, whatever, a lesser piece that's not going to cost you anything to play center field.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's possible. I would rather get the best center fielder, live with third base, go get the best bullpen arm you could get, and then maybe add a depth piece as far as the rotation.
I think I agree with you, but are we sure that, now he's a better athlete for sure, and he doesn't strike out as much, but in terms of a power profile than just doing damage, just pure raking, I mean, you can very easily make the case that Suarez makes the Mets lineup better, not from a speed, you know, but
no,
better
or,
than Buxton.
But or position. Like, I'll live with...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Edie, Vientos, I guess.
Mauricio,
If I have to live with one of those guys to play third, now again, I'd rather not. I'd rather just have a professional, at the very least, a professional third baseman.
Where's Ray Knight? We need him.
Yeah, exactly. And the big-time center fielder, because where are you getting that production from center field? Like, there's no, the drop-off from Buxton to what the Mets have now is significant, whereas the drop-off from Suarez to what they have now is also significant, but to me, center field more premium and more difficult to find a center fielder where you could find, even if they wanted to go get Arenado, if the Cardinals made him available, you take on that money, boom, you plug a pro in at third base, and then you go get up the prospects to get Buxton. Now you're making one move to give up prospects, one move to take on money, and you just really solidified your lineup. Not that they're going to do that.
No, but this is what makes the evaluation of David Stearns this year so interesting.
Yeah, he's got to be aggressive, as do the Yankees. Mike is, but we know the Yankees always are. Mike is in Southampton. What's up, Mike?
Yes, hi, guys. How are you? Everyone doing all right?
Yes.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Doing all right. So I have a little bit of an idea of who the Yankees need at the deadline, right? They need an infielder. They need a reliever. And, of course, why not a starting pitcher? When I was 17 years old, I went to Game 6 of the American Championship Series where David Justice hit the home run off of Arthur Rhodes. Amazing. The stadium rocked. I was sitting with the Seattle Mets.
I may have dropped up. Yeah. I think we lost.
Family. Mariano's coming in. They got the reliever. The Yankees need Mason Miller. I'm telling you, he's hard-throwing right-hander.
He's filthy.
He did great last year, and I think we could get him on the cheap, and he could really take over and then really help that bullpen.
He's filthy. He's absolutely filthy.
I am a big believer, BT, in lethal 8-9. Now, I used to always say the triangle for the back end of these games, but this is going back years ago, right? You want, like, let's say for the Mets. You want to use the Yankees fine because you were just talking about the Yankees. Let's say the Yankees right now, the top of the triangle, the closer, you have Williams. And then the bottom right corner, let's say Weaver, you would have had Cruz or Loazaga if those guys were good. They don't have that right now. Although I think in today's day and age, you know, the Mets, same thing. Diaz would be at the top of the triangle. Who's beneath them? Like, they had Minter. He's obviously out for the year. It's a big blow.
That's a big one.
Stanek, okay. Is Garrett, Brazoban? I wouldn't trust them. But not only do the Mets and Yankees don't have that triangle complete. I think now in today's day and age with the starters going fewer innings, that triangle has to be expanded to a square. You need a
look
square.
At you.
Yeah, I know. We do shapes as well.
What are the shapes on somebody?
We do octagon? Yeah, so I would say that the bullpen square for both the Mets and Yankees needs to be filled out, whereas, you know, you could put Williams and Weaver, you need two more legit arms. Obviously, you know, Miller would be a stud there. You take him and you know, he'd be a lethal arm. You'd have Williams and Miller, two opposite guys, which is great too, a little different 8-9. But either way, I believe in the power of an 8-9 bullpen. And nowadays, you may need the 7-8-9 all high leverage spots. And if you need the lesser arms like a Reed Garrett, mm-hmm. he can pitch the sixth inning and be the bridge type guy to get you to those high leverage arms.
Yeah. I mean, if the game's changed a little bit from what you get in terms of length from the starters, then don't you need more length from the back end of the bullpen? I mean, it makes a lot of sense here.
Yeah.
And you think of now the other components you have to have as well, but you think about the height of the Yankees dynasty. It was like, all right, let's get Mendoza when you have to, you know, in the middle frames. Then you got Stanton. You've obviously got Jeff Nelson. You got Mo. But see, the problem is, and that worked out great for the Yankees, the problem is when we call up, and you know, we've been happening forever here at the Fan, I get it, you know, trade for this guy. All right, well, we're looking at it from our perspective. I'm not saying that the A's aren't going to trade Mason Miller, right? He's making $740,000, though, this year.
Why would they give him?
Why would they trade him? I'm looking at it. He's arbitration eligible next year. His earliest free agency is 2030. He is the absolute definition of high talent, long-term controllability, which is what the A's need.
The only reason why an organization would trade a guy like that is to get rid of a bad contract, like the Mariners did with Diaz. They found a sucker like Brody Van Wagenen and the Mets to take Cano's god-awful contract off their hands. And not only did that get them the appeal of Diaz got them out from under the Cano contract, Van Wagenen was such a sucker that they were able to get a prospect back in return, which never made sense. But if the A's had a bad contract, which they don't, I mean, did they want to get out from Severino's contract? Sebi. Yeah, maybe Severino's contract.
Maybe Sebi.
Okay, but still not that bad to justify giving it a Miller. But the way to do that would be, yeah, I'll take on all of Severino's contract and take back Miller. Now, in that case, because Sebi's contract isn't bad, you would have to give up prospects. Whereas the Cano-Diaz thing, you shouldn't have had to because his contract...
It was so bad. So burdensome.
Nobody in the sport would want that. Other teams would take on Severino if it meant getting the opportunity to get Miller.
Yes, I think that's an outstanding point. I think Mason Miller, I don't see him being traded. I mean, the guy throws 103 miles an hour. Imagine him coming out in front of 45, 50,000 people in October with music pumping, whatever stadium it is, Queens or in the Bronx, music pumping, you know, lights flaming and flaring everywhere. A guy would be an absolute rock star.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019. We'll be introduced today. I guess he's going to be introduced today. I'm not sure how that's going to go exactly. Why does it got to be so weird over there?
I don't know. They have written their own rules. They've gotten away with it when it comes to that stuff. I believe, I've tried to get as much information as possible so I don't misspeak on this, I believe it's just an in-house thing.
Media members going to be allowed?
I'm still waiting on final confirmation. I don't know for sure, but I know that they're going to run it their way, which will be very different from, you know, the day Aaron Boone was introduced or Mendy was introduced or whatever, Aaron Glenn, etc. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. I really don't. And those guys are great. I love Breen, love Han, love the job they do. But it's a different line of questioning. You know, it's just different urgency, different tone.
Yeah, so it'll be a waste of time is what you're saying. That's coming up at 2:30, so we could react to whatever he does say tomorrow. But we'll talk a little Knicks coming up at 1 o'clock. Couple more things here, 888-808-1019. So Jesse Winker, it is official, he will be activated. Hoff, did you see the corresponding move? I know it's not Mauricio. So Jesse Winker is going to be activated officially tonight. That's going to be a huge boost to the Mets lineup. I know they might lose Marte. Maybe that is going to be the corresponding move. They put Marte on the IL. He's banged up with that knee. But the news was, who had it, Hoff? That Winker's...
Martino had it.
Okay, so Andy Martino, he had the Yankee thing too. So he had that Winker is going to be activated and that Mauricio will survive the cut again, right? That's what the...
What it sounds like. But again, there's no corresponding move yet. And again, that's just speculation about... I just thought it up about the Marte thing. Maybe he...
Well, it is probably... it is probably going to be Marte.
That makes the most sense.
That would make the most sense. Either way, that's going to be welcome to have Winker back in line for the Mets. The other thing, Hoff and I were just talking about this during the break, BT, because remember you and I talked about the divisions and realignment potentially one day with the Mets and Yanks. So right now, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. To do the four divisions times four teams.
You gotta do like, five a pop.
Like the NFL, you'd have to add two teams.
Well, they're going to. That's definitely the plan.
Well, that's what he was saying. What were the markets that
Nashville,
you said?
Nashville, Montreal, Portland.
Yeah, Nashville, Charlotte. Montreal, Portland. Portland. I lost the page I had.
All right, but
it's definitely Montreal.
Salt Lake City, Portland, Montreal, Charlotte, San Antonio.
Yeah, I'd love to see Montreal get another team. Okay, but so baseball, like this is just predicting or whatever, or expecting what might happen. Lockout, and then they're going to add two expansion teams. I think the last thing Major League Baseball needs is expansion teams. I'm all for realignment. Figuring out a different either playoff system, division format, scheduling, whatever you want to say. The baseball needs to contract. You can't expand to two more teams, but math-wise, to make the four divisions, four teams in each work the way the NFL does it, you'd have to add two teams.
Okay, well, let's say, now you said you would love to see Montreal get a team back. I don't know that that's viable enough. I'm intrigued by it as well, because we're old enough to have watched some good Expo teams.
And it is a passionate fan base that has been starved. I mean, look, the team wasn't very good. Dude, they sold out exhibition. They sold out exhibition games when they had them there with the Yankees a few years back.
Yeah, but that's a one-off. They sold them out in London. We want to give a team, watch, that's the next step. London Monarchs are going to be playing the Yankees regularly. I love.
Don't you think if there was a team in London, it should be called the London Broyles? Like, it just sounds nice to me.
It's not bad.
Maybe the NFL will do that. But anyway,
I think that's an old school mom kind of meal. We're going to have London Broil tonight.
Like, I don't know why, but.
Does your wife ever say London Broil?
Yeah, my wife doesn't cook, unfortunately. But if she did,
you buddy. Yeah. I got you. So, I think Montreal is kind of cool with a new stadium. I don't know that it would work there. But if they went to Montreal, then you could do Montreal, Toronto, Yankees, Mets.
Or you just have, either way, Montreal and Toronto would have to be in that division. I don't know about if I would put them in the same division as the Mets. And by the way, are we separating leagues? Like we're just,
I think at this point, everything's up for shake the bag up and see whatever
but
you got.
That's what I mean. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, you have four or three divisions in the National League, three divisions in the American League, but then what, the Mets are going to play in the American League? Why can't the Yankees play in the National League? Like, it would just be an odd.
Why can't they play in the National League?
That's also a dilemma. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to mix the two teams or the two leagues, then maybe you should just get rid of the American and National and just have one big league with multiple divisions. And maybe the math would then work without expanding. I don't think baseball should be expanding. Come on, man.
Now I'm just going through these lists. Montreal, Salt Lake, Portland, San Antonio, Nashville. Thank you, Charlotte. Of these six, I think the most viable, I think Nashville absolutely has to get a team.
You think so?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, God. Just the way the state has grown, like Tennessee, it's so vibrant.
I guess they have two out of the three major sports.
They got hockey and football. Yeah, they do. All right, so I would say I got no interest in, even though Salt Lake City is beautiful, I'm not doing that. Maybe Portland, maybe San Antonio, not interested. I would say Nashville and Montreal if I had my choice. But I don't have great confidence that Montreal, after the first year and the newness wears out, because that stadium was empty.
Yeah.
Olympic Stadium. It was dilapidated. Now you'd have a new stadium. I don't know if they're going to support the product.
I admit. But look at the Rays and look at the Marlins. This is what I mean. Baseball doesn't need expansion. They need contraction.
Or they've got to be in the, if you're going to be in a market, you've got to be strategically placed it better. Like, I don't have a problem with the Rays existing. I got a problem with the Rays existing where they exist.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in Steinbrenner Field right now. I just mean where they are is no man's land. What they really should have done, honestly, Sal, forget about the Marlins and the Rays both having a team, which is an absolute joke. It's a joke. I think I remember seeing, I don't know if it was on Awful Announcing, some point earlier this year, there was like 622 people at a 622 people at a Marlins game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So what they should have done is basically have one team to represent Southern Florida and maybe go a little north, like in between Miami and Tampa, and figure it out.
What if you have, forget the expansion for a second, because I think that would be a mess for baseball. What if you have where you combine the two leagues, call it whatever you want, the AN League, American National, whatever it may be, and you have bigger, so you combine, let's say, the NL West and the AL West, and now you have a 10-team division, and the first I guess you. So you have three 10-team divisions, and each of the first two teams would get the playoff spots.
Now, we're going radical now.
Well, is it really that radical? It's kind of
that's
mixing,
like the old school way.
Correct. That's kind of mixing old school and new school. Now, I mean, it's a big. You know, I guess that's, you know, people would want fewer division winners. And then the argument would be, well, yeah, the five teams in the West are better than the top two teams in the National, in the East. So then you could have an issue there. I'm just trying to think out loud to where you can prevent having expansion teams and have proper realignment within the same divisions. Like, I think the West got it right. Maybe you could have a Midwest and you move the Rockies there. But the West with the Padres.
And the Cardinals, the Midwest Cardinals.
Right, okay,
sure.
So Rockies, Cardinals, the Royals. Cubs, Brewers. Yeah, all right.
But, yeah, but again, some teams out there.
Okay, but think of how many teams. So what? So you want to add, all right, so instead of making it three 10-team divisions, there's not a way to get it even four divisions. You'd have to go the same thing again.
Unless you add the two teams, and now you've got 32.
Yeah, that's why
I
don't
want. And you go 16 and 16, which is why, hey, we can actually, we can come up with a reason, and I don't mind expansion as much as you do. I just, I resent sloppy, hasty expansion where it's not well thought out with a bad stadium and a fan base that doesn't have any sort of vibrance to it, like St. Pete, like Tampa.
I get it, but the expansion to me is not about where they go. It's about the quality of play and lack thereof.
Well, that's the case, but that's always going to be the case until you build it up.
Right, but there are guys right now that aren't, they don't belong in the big leagues. We're seeing way too many of them.
Yeah.
Expanded rosters, expansion teams. You're going to add two more teams? Good God. Think of how bad the pitching is going to be with two more baseball teams.
It's going to be very watered down. And again, that's why I start to say there are many reasons why we can do a whole show on why it's bad for the sport, but they don't care. They're thinking about the digital rights.
Yeah,
they're thinking about expanding another team in Canada. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking about expanding to Mexico.
Yeah.
That was on the expansion list a couple of years ago.
And I'm just thinking about cleaning up what we have here, making the proper realignments to where you could have a South and maybe a Midwest, and you add those divisions and have the Mets and Yankees be in the same division and enhance the sport, the otherwise monotonous long season, which has become less meaningful. That's the biggest key. When we talk about like not wanting to overreact to a bad stretch, if you could be bad for 2 months and still make the postseason, I think that shows you that you need to make the regular season a little bit more meaningful. And what better way to do that than to have the natural inner city rivals, not just the Mets and Yankees, but you know a lot of these teams here, you have them combine in the same division as opposed to just the weekend, you know, the Cubs and White Sox where they play together for a weekend.
Well, I think the easiest thing is obviously, you know, the East Coast is pretty simple. The West Coast is fairly simple. You'd have to include, maybe that's where Salt Lake comes in with expansion, Salt Lake City, Utah, Colorado. You got to push the boundaries a bit. But I think where it gets a little tricky is maybe a little bit of the middle of the country. And, you know, we might not care as much, but they will. But, I mean, can you have, like, the Pirates in Pennsylvania, the Reds in Ohio, the Guardians in Ohio? Like, there's actually even ways to do that. St. Louis, Missouri. Like, it's not that hard. There's got to be an appetite for it. I believe there is an appetite for expansion. Like, I would much rather see Nashville, because I know they'll show up, and they'll be hooting and hollering, drinking bourbon, having a good old time. Even if the team's horrible, it will be a sick stadium. They'll have 25, 30,000 every night. You don't make a 50,000-seat venue. You go a little bit smaller, rather than the Rays with 9,000 and the Pirates and all these other teams that draw flies. So, if you do it strategically, I think it actually could be a win. I really do. 888-808-1019.
We can see the expansion calls here, Yankees calls, Mets, whatever. I'm just trying to do. It is fun to think about realignment, and I've always been opposed to it. But dude, like, how can you be opposed to it now where everything that we once knew, with the purity of the game, the National League separated from the American, the two divisions in each, the expanded postseason, it's all gone. The DH, it's all intertwined anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why have the American League and the National League separate? And it is fun to think about proper, what's it called, a geographical realignment?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would probably go, instead of you having Toronto in as the fifth team in the East, I think I'd go Pittsburgh.
Oh, I don't like that one at all.
Because you'd have Philly-Pittsburgh. Remember, it's not just about the Met-Yankee rivalry. You want Philly and Pitt in the same division, don't you?
I mean...
Like
you they have to
think about, okay, but that's what I'm saying.
But again, I'm also looking at this more from the Yankee and Met perspective. And the Pirates are an absolute joke.
I want to look at it rivalries within the sport as well as that. So I think Red Sox, Mets, Yankees, Philly, and Pittsburgh. then I would go, I mean, it's tough, dude, because you have, it's hard to find a clean five. Like the Central, for example, you'd want the Cubs, Cardinals, White Sox, Royals, but who's the fifth?
Guardians.
Yeah, well, are you going to separate them from Cincinnati?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
What about Detroit and Minnesota? Nationals and the Orioles, I'd probably throw the Blue Jays in there. That's where if you had an expansion team, it'd be perfect with the Expos, because then you could have the Expos, the Nats, the Blue Jays, and the Orioles all in the same. We have the built-in rivalry.
It's also a pretty big competitive disadvantage. Now, I'm sure that they would factor this in. At least I hope they. If I'm a Toronto Blue Jay and I'm flying up and down, up and down, up and down, rather than the Nationals and the Orioles and the Rays and the... and the Marlins, who are basically, you know, 30, 40, 50-minute flights or an hour back and forth from south to north and north to south.
So you're saying
I got to lead the country every time I play on away like that. That's right. Why I at least put Toronto with, if there's a Montreal team, or at the very least, teams that are just below the border.
Well, the
go
O's
New York. Go. You want to go Detroit? You can even touch that part with the Great Lakes. You can do that as well.
So maybe then you put Toronto. You put Toronto, the Nats. The Orioles is really geeky stuff, but I do love getting into it.
It's old school.
Detroit and Minnesota. Nats, Orioles, Toronto, Detroit, Minnesota. You have them in a division two. Yeah, that's five. So that could be one. You still have Cincinnati and Cleveland. Anyway, it's just fun to figure it out. But the reason why I like doing it and thinking about this is because, A, I think it's a realistic possibility. B, my primary goal, if I'm Major League Baseball, and I'm not sure what their goal is. I mean, they got an All-Star game coming up where they left Juan Soto off of it. You idiots. Guy's the highest paid player in the history of sport. He's a beast. Just had a historic month, and you leave him out of the All-Star game. Like, what type of idiots would run an All-Star game like that? So that's what we're dealing with Major League Baseball. But I want to make the regular season more exciting. And instead of having the Mets take on the Orioles and Royals this week, like, more interdivision games, if your division was inner city rivals or natural rivals, that to me would make it more exciting.
Okay, now here's the other thing, though. If we're primarily, not all, but primarily fixated on how this would impact our teams, which is our main motivation, we also have to protect our teams a little bit here. Because by aligning the Yankees and the Mets together, and the Phillies, and other big market, Toronto's been trying to give money away forever, big money, big market teams, then, you know, the teams in the other market, that's almost not fair.
I know, but, I mean, is it fair now? I mean, well, just because you have a couple of bottom feeders in each, it's not designed like that. Like, there are times where the Marlins should be on top.
They're never going to spend money again.
By the way, okay, here's a fix for that. Have a floor. Have a floor cap.
Now we're branching into something else that is necessary, even more than realignment.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think you can ever look at the vision to the way it looks now. Now, the problem is the Mets and Yankees don't plan on going anywhere as far as
what I'm saying. Phillies always spend money.
Yeah, all right, but you don't know what could change there with Philadelphia. Obviously, Pittsburgh doesn't.
No, I don't, but I tell you what's not going to change is Miami and Tampa suddenly spending money.
Well, that's my point.
Or the Twins.
Unless you have a floor because you want to have competitive balance. You're right. So then, are we separating powerhouses and putting one in each division, or are we combining them?
I want the Mets and the Yanks together. I think that would be awesome.
Me too.
I really do.
But to your point, would that division be tougher than, let's say, the Central?
Yes. Okay, I think now, so listen, then you live with it. Take it like the stock market. Basically, every 10 years, the ups and the downs of the stock market are eventually going to, you know, come back to a mean. So, but now it might be pretty bloody for a while. It might be pretty awesome for a while. But over 10 years, generally, you're going to have a standard number. And I think that would apply as well to payrolls. Yeah, you might have a year or two where the Phillies or the Mets or the Yankees, probably not the Yankees or the Mets, but the Phillies or other bigger market teams might shed a little bit and recalibrate and reset. But over the course of a 10-year cycle, those teams are going to spend a lot of money, which would obviously be a disadvantage to the Yankees and the Mets. Not that they can't overcome it, but it's a little tougher. But the one thing we got to be careful about, and you're going realignment, which I love. I always find this stuff interesting. I just want to go back to expansion for one moment.
Yeah.
Because we romanticize a lot, like this week in baseball and the Expos uniforms when Gary was there and all those great players, Larry Walker, Pedro,
Delano DeShields,
of course. Randy Johnson, I was going a little more recent, but there's no doubt. Okay, well, then you tell me why in 1986, no strike, nothing. 86, they drew 14,000 people a game. Why in 1991, I'm looking at the numbers from Olympic Stadium, or Stadium Olympic K, is how they say, 11,000 in 1991. Or in 98, they had 11,000. 99, they had 9,000. And then obviously they knew that they were leaving. The numbers dwindled, to be fair. But it's not like we're saying, now they
you don't know when you got till it's gone.
Well, that's true. But even when they were there, they weren't flocking like our fans do. Right. So
well, the team
let's just not misremember. There was a little messy up there as well.
Also the ownership, and I don't know the exact inner workings of it, but the fact that they developed all these young players and had to get rid of them all because they couldn't keep them, that's a problem. Like, would you invest in that if you're a fan? And they have all these young guys but have to let them go because they can't afford to pay them? Like, I could see how that would fall apart, too. Whether it's trading Gary Carter or Larry Walker or Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, whatever it may be.
Think about those players we just mentioned.
No, I get it. I remember. I mean, they had
Tim Wallach was there. He was really good. Reigns
and
Dawson.
Brandon Phillips, Cliff Lee.
Yeah, I forgot about Brandon Phillips. He was more with the Reds, Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, but
Cliff Lee, yeah.
That was when Omar was running things with the Expos and had to make an aggressive trade to try to save the team.
That's right.
At the deadline. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Dave is in Smithtown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Great show, yo. A couple things. You know, people even suggested cities like Buffalo and San Juan and Vancouver, Northern Virginia, even here in New York at 13.
No.
I heard that before.
It's actually not the worst idea. Think about this.
Where?
Sorry, David. Thank
Buffalo?
You. No. I'm saying in New York, like, we had three teams before.
Yeah.
With the market being what it is with the Mets and Yanks, you know, spending ridiculous amounts of money, you don't think a third team.
Where the hell are we going to put them?
You mean literally?
Oh, Jersey? Hoff just said Jersey. I mean, Jersey's.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do that. Maybe.
Well, where are we going?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think there were worse markets you could put another team. I don't know how it would work out. I'm sure the Mets and Yankees would never want that.
Well, they have territorial rights. That would never fly.
They're already splitting between each other.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Like,
I get it. I mean, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, we got another song coming up. Like, the Yankee Stadium and.
How sick would that be?
I mean, it would be sick, but I.
Would you rather a third team here or a team in, you know. Bumble, you know what, USA, like...
I take the third team here, but again, talk about overly romanticizing or miss, like, Polo Grounds was, even with Willie Mays, was empty.
Yeah.
Empty.
You don't think we have enough room for a third team?
We had enough room for a stadium. I don't think we have enough disposable income. It's so different. Those stadiums, they were concrete slabs, dude. Ebbets Field, little tiny, amazing, great history, but little block on Flatbush Avenue. They're now monstrosities. The amount of money, the taxpayer investment, the lack of space, everything is so much more developed now. There's really not a lot of room.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me Jersey? I mean, we've got minor league teams in Somerset, the Jersey Jackals. We got the Sussex County Miners, some independent. Like, there's some
how do
nice.
They draw?
The stadiums are actually really nice. I mean, they get a couple of that. They're not making a ton of money. But the point is, like, there's access, the roadways. There's enough development. And I think that there's enough of a thirst for baseball. To me, at this point, Jersey would be more viable than squeezing another one, you know, 30 blocks away from Yankee Stadium or somewhere. Long Island. I don't know how you do that.
BT and Sal and the fan will get to some Knicks stuff when we come back, as well as your calls, 888-808-1019.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.